for this?
Broadcasting from atop the Hensler Financial Building in the heart of Georgia's financial district, Kennesaw, Georgia, this is Money Talks.
All right, we're back. This is Money Talks. Not only are we Atlanta's longest-running, most respected money show on radio, our show is also available on iTunes and Stitcher Radio. One of the things we wanted to talk about is Apple and all the good news about Apple this week, right? I guess if you're an Apple fan, you're considering it good news.
Nick sounds like a fanboy here.
I'm pretty excited. The long-awaited Apple event was held last week, in which the company introduced a couple of new product refreshes, as well as two new product categories altogether. To give you a little summary of what they're coming out with, they got two new versions of the iPhone, one known as the iPhone 6, the other is the iPhone 6 Plus.
And that's a lot bigger, right?
Yeah, so even the regular iPhone 6 is a 4.7-inch screen, which is bigger than before, even on the 5 and 5S. And then the 6 Plus, which is a 5.5-inch screen, so it's more comparable to the Samsung Galaxy phones that are out right now.
That would be my phone that you called a phablet, I think.
Yeah. Correct. Looks like you have an iPad attached to your side.
And you ordered what again? I don't know.
The regular size.
Oh, okay. So you didn't get a phablet.
No, I didn't go with the phablet.
So what if we're like really fashionable like Dr. Jean or Bill and we wear skinny jeans? Can these fit in our pockets?
You know, I haven't tested that yet, but I'd be happy to come back on and let you know.
You're supposed to get one of those holders and wear it like a belt buckle if you're going to wear skinny jeans.
And then you get a graphic on the front of it.
That's right. Yeah, gold graphic, right?
Right. Yeah. So the phone's going to have a faster processor. There's a brand new operating system that just came out on Wednesday that you can download on an iPhone 4 or newer. They also introduced the first new product category, which was called Apple Pay, which is a pretty interesting way to exchange, dollars for a transaction now anytime you go into a store. But the highlight of the event, I'd have to say, you know, some may call it a letdown, but the Apple Watch, as it's called, not the iWatch, as a lot of people expected, but the Apple Watch, which is expected to come out in 2015.
Now, I lived through the 80s. Probably the only one at this table that lived all the way through the 80s, right?
You had a Casio watch, right?
I did not, but I saw a few people with a Casio watch, and it didn't seem to catch on there. And we've got other people who've put out watches. How is this going to be different from them, and will you really still not be again? In fact, you know, they're all so small. How do you use it?
Well, the Casio watch, how often do you have to, you know, multiply, divide, add, subtract?
All the time. We're in finance, buddy.
Well, if I'm sorry, for the average person,
run cash flows on my watch.
That's about all the Casio could do. Now, you want to look at the Apple Watch. It's pretty much just like the iPhone. It can read you your text messages. You can get your emails. You can receive calls. Now,
do you have to have miniature hands to operate this thing?
Well, no, that's actually in two sizes, too, just in case. Yeah, so they are going to have two different sizes. It's got a lot of cool features. There's a
1.8-inch screen, really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
I can hardly see my arm without my glasses on. How in the world am I going to see that thing?
You're going to need better glasses, I guess.
Okay.
So two different sizes, but did they make one for lefties? Because I'm left-handed.
No, they only made right-handed, as in correct-handed people watches.
That should go well, Nick. You're not only talking
I
about Mark here,
I
right?
offended anyone.
Yes.
No, but to give you
except
some of the,
for Mark.
Some of the features of the watch are pretty neat. It's got for those of you who, you know, have the Fitbits or, you know, the fitness tracking bracelets, it can do all that those devices do, built-in sensor into the watch. You can listen to your music. You can receive calls. You can talk to text. So if you're, you know, I don't know why you feel the need to do this. If you're walking down the street and you get a text message, you don't think pulling out your phone and texting, you can actually speak to your watch.
Like GoGo Gadget Watch?
The text.
Siri,
yeah, essentially.
Right?
Yeah, it has Siri on the device. Yeah. And it's also going to have the Apple Pay feature once it's released. So you'd be able to, say, walk in the drugstore, you're going to buy something on any of the card readers that have those. That almost looks like a Wi-Fi symbol on there. You can, you know, touch your credit card to it. Well, Apple Pay is going to allow you to touch your phone to that reader and pay seamlessly. Yeah.
So how secure is Apple Pay? So I got your phone somehow. How can I use it or not use it? How is it going to be secure?
So obviously that's the big concern, especially considering what we've seen in the past few weeks. But so the way it works is to pay, you just hold your phone over the contactless reader with your finger on the Touch ID. So you have to, it has to read your fingerprint. The phone or watch will be programmed to, you know, be able to read your finger only. So you'll press your finger over that and touch the sensor, and your phone's going to vibrate and beep to let you know the payment was transmitted. You can add, and most of your major credit cards, American Express, Capital One, you know, most Visa, MasterCards, you can add on there. And when you add your cards to the passbook, your card number isn't displayed on the device, whether it's the phone or the watch. Rather, Apple's going to assign it a number, and it's going to be encrypted and securely stored, and it's never stored on the Apple servers. So your actual credit or debit card number is never shared by Apple with any merchants, and it's never transmitted.
So you're saying it's the absolute most secure thing ever created on Earth.
I'm sure it'll be hacked in 3 weeks.
Yeah. Well, that leads us into what everybody else is talking about, right?
Yeah, so if you've turned on the national news over the past couple of weeks, you've probably heard the name Alibaba thrown around. So the company is set to go public on Friday, and shares are expected to price in the range of $66 to $68. That's up from the previous range of $60 to $66 that was initially set. So at the top of the range, Alibaba is set to be the set the record for the world's largest IPO ever. So with all the hype around the company, there's a lot of questions. You know, who is Alibaba and what do they do? So in short, Alibaba is China's biggest e-commerce company. So while the company has their hands in a little bit of everything, they mainly operate through three websites known as Taobao, Tmall, and lastly, the Alibaba's namesake, Alibaba.com, which hosts a network of exporters who it connects with a bunch of different merchants and businesses. They also have their hand in a business called Alipay, which is basically the Chinese equivalent of PayPal. They have a large stake in Sina Weibo, hope I pronounced that correctly, which is basically the Chinese equivalent of Twitter. And lastly, a company called Youku Tudou, China's equivalent of YouTube. So they're got their hands in a little bit of everything.
So this is a fairly similar company to an Amazon or an eBay, right?
Somewhat, yes, except for the fact that they're more of a middleman. They don't have these giant warehouses like you'll have with an Amazon. They don't actually hold the physical product. They're just the middleman who connects, you know, buyers and sellers throughout China and, you know, as they grow on a global presence. So you could go online here in the States to Alibaba.com and, you know, you could bulk order a million of different items and have them shipped here.
So as a middleman, how do they make money? Is it just being they make a commission, I guess, on all the sales that are the transactions?
So most of their revenue comes from advertising, similar to the way, you know, a Google works. But they also, through one of their businesses, I believe it's Tmall, they charge a small commission to the buyers and sellers through on there. So it's more of a higher priced retail spot than, say, the Taobao, which is entirely no fee for buyers or sellers.
Okay. I know Yahoo has a huge stake in it. It's like 20% or something. How are they going to benefit from this?
Yeah, so they have about a 23% stake in the company. And come Friday, when the stock actually starts trading, they're expected to sell 27%, which is required per their ownership agreement with Alibaba. And it's supposed to net them about $6 billion after taxes. So, you know, the question comes up, what's Yahoo going to do with this money? You especially want to know that the answer to that if you're a Yahoo shareholder. So what's expected is they've committed to 50% of that those proceeds being returned to shareholders. So that's either going to be in the form of stock buybacks or dividends. Now, at the other half, they haven't been real clear as to what they're going to do with it, but a lot of people have speculated they're going to use it towards an acquisition, try and spur some growth. And one of the names mentioned has been AOL. Whether or not that happens, we'll see.
They'll probably buy a foreign company and just right. Change their tax status overseas.
It's hard to say. Their history with acquisitions, they actually have some recently, and they haven't been all that common for a company in the tech industry, right?
Yeah, some pretty outrageous acquisitions lately. You kind of wonder what an e-commerce company has any business in acquiring a soccer team, a film division, brick-and-mortar chain store, and an appliance manufacturer.
No racehorse?
Not yet. I'm sure it's in the pipeline. But they've spent $8.6 billion just since April in acquisition. So
they're taking a step backward and going back to brick-and-mortar from an e-commerce store.
Exactly. You know, a lot of these just don't really seem to fit their business model.
Right, but yeah. That does seem strange, which makes you wonder about management, right?
Yeah, so there's obviously some concerns. Jack Ma is the executive of the company. I think he has about an 8% ownership in Alibaba. And one of the concerns has been how much control he's going to have. So the corporate structure of Alibaba, it's a Chinese company, but it's incorporated in the Cayman Islands because China has restrictions on foreign ownership. So this basically means U.S. investors who buy this on the IPO, you're not going to own the Chinese assets. You're instead you're going to own assets of a Cayman Island company called Alibaba Group Holdings Limited. So it's a risky structure, and it may even be illegal under Chinese law from what the New York Times has said.
Yeah, some of those offshore structures actually limit shareholder rights too, right?
Yeah, exactly. And that's one of the concerns is how much as an individual shareholder or some of these institutional buyers, you know, how much influence are they actually going to have?
Yeah.
A few other things to be concerned about is you always have the transparency concerns in China. There's obviously been accounting issues. You know, how trustworthy are the numbers that Alibaba is reporting? As we mentioned, the aggressive acquisition streak. And then growing concerns about counterfeit goods on Alibaba. A lot of you know, I guess operates as almost a black market. You can
some
buy a lot of knockoffs.
Shoes.
That's
yeah.
right.
Yeah.
The
so
shoes you mentioned.
Are you a buyer? Should we buy this stock when it comes out?
I personally will not be a buyer. There are, you know, some pretty impressive growth numbers behind the stock in terms of revenue and earnings and margins. Margins are at like 48%. You compare that to an Amazon who's at 1%.
Funny numbers.
You never know. Do you trust it or not?
Yeah.
I personally do not. I wouldn't be getting in there, especially because you'll probably see that stock price pop well above that 68 come Friday.
I believe I'll pass too, but I really don't think they'll run off like Will's story talked about. We've got a.
It's hard to get lost at that many billions of dollars. You can get lost at a few hundred thousand.
But. Yeah. Follow the money stream, you'll get caught, right? Well, we're going to take a quick break right here. Stick around. We'll be right back. You're listening to Money Talks.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.